Let me offer you a word of scripture and let this be our prayer to God as we start. This is from James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and reproacheth no man, and it shall be given to him. As we get into our topic this morning, as I read the texts for the morning, I think you'll see why we need wisdom. I don't mean to be controversial, but the mere topic will be. Our texts for the morning come from 1 and 2 John, towards the back of the Bible. The first text will be 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Then, 1 John chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? The same is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Third text, third verse will be from 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby shall ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, but this is the spirit of Antichrist, of whom ye have heard, how that he should come, and now already is in this world. The fourth verse is from 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Many deceivers are entered into this world, which confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He that is such a one is a deceiver and antichrist. What led to this sermon this week is the news. I hate sometimes that sermons are driven by recent events, but it happens. And we have to address recent events. Things in the world are escalating. There's rumors of war now. We're heightened to the sense of urgency. The situation in Ukraine with Russia and all that that may or may not bring about for the United States. And if you turn on the Christian TV, everybody's abuzz. The Antichrist will be known soon. Time is focusing to that end. Who is the Antichrist? He's here now. He's ready to come about. Well, that got me to thinking. And the only place to find answers is in the Scripture. And that's where I began, and that's where hopefully we'll stay today in my comments. I drew from the letters of John for a reason. John is the only author in the New Testament that actually uses the word Antichrist. It comes from the Greek compound word, two words, anti, meaning against, and Christos, Christ. John is the only author in the New Testament that uses this word. So it seemed to me that that is where we must go to begin the search, to begin to gain our understanding. The epistle of John, the letters of John, were written by John, the disciple, apostle. The exact audience is unknown to us. It was a letter or a series of letters written by John, as all of the letters in the New Testament were written by somebody, and then copied and circulated among all of the churches. the exact target church, the body that John originally wrote to, is uncertain. But we assume from the text that these were people that John knew personally, because the letters are of a very intimate nature. They're not generic. They're not general. He uses terms that indicate that he had a close relationship with these people. He speaks of them as beloved. As always, the letters were copied and distributed all over the place. The date that the letters were written appear to be between 60 and 65 AD. And John wrote the letters to deal with false teaching in the churches there. Most of the New Testament was written to deal with false teaching. Within 30 years of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church was inundated with false teachers. People who took the message of Christ and added to it, subtracted from it, went different directions with it. The church was covered up with those people. Paul wrote about it. Jude wrote about it. John wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. John, in this instance, is writing to deal with a theological problem in the church. Again, a people that he was close to, a people that he had a personal relationship. He had an interest in making sure that these dear ones, these brothers and sisters in Christ, knew the truth. He was dealing with primarily two errors in doctrine. One is what has historically become known to us as docetism, and the other was what was the very beginnings of Gnosticism in the early church. Each of these had some similar aspects to them, and John addresses these. But basically, docetism denied that Christ came in the flesh. The word docet is a word that means spirit, phantom, or illusion. The docetists did not believe that God, being pure spirit, could or would inhabit the flesh, but he did in Christ have the appearance of a man. Jesus was not really flesh, according to them. The Gnostics held to some of that. They held that the truth was the higher reality and that the flesh was insignificant. So we did not need to pay attention to the flesh. And as that viewpoint came in, it split into two extremes. One is that extreme Gnostics tended to deny the flesh completely. They wouldn't partake in fleshly things. They were against pleasures of the flesh because they were so devoted to the spirit. And then the other extreme was that they would encourage the flesh in every possible way because the flesh was insignificant, did not matter when compared to true spirit, so it didn't matter what you did. So indulge the flesh. Indulge the flesh. And this is what John has written to correct. Now let us remember, and I say this always, and Brother Bill tells us this too, there is a context, and we must look at the context. This letter was written to real people at a real time and a real place, and it meant something to those people, and it's that we want to get into today because we are secondary readers. We are far removed from the original letter, and it would help us to understand and to know the truth if we can read it and sense it as they did, and then bring the principle forward. Now, John had to address these issues because Bad theology will always result in bad practice. That's a given. You can't separate that. If you have bad theology, it will result in bad practice. And it was in that church. We talked about what the errors were. The Docetists said that Christ was not a real person. He was a spirit that had the appearance of a person, but he was not a person. And then those of the Gnostic elements that were creeping into the church there held that the flesh was insignificant, and really, there is no sin. There is no sin. Whatever you do, one way or another, does not matter because the sin, the flesh is completely insignificant when compared to the spirit. John writes to correct these things. If you look at the very beginning of John's epistle, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, you see how John begins his letter. John, of course, was an eyewitness to Jesus Christ. And that is where he begins, stating his authority as a witness to Christ. But notice what he says and how he addresses the Docetist viewpoint. John was there in the beginning. We heard. The Docetist would not argue the point that they heard Christ. He wouldn't argue that. We saw. Again, the Docetist would not deny that. The significant factor comes in we touched. We touched. John is clearly stating that Jesus was no ghost, no mere image, no phantom, no illusion. He was a man, a real person. We were there with him. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. We touched him. Remember, when Christ appeared again after his resurrection, he sat and ate with them. That's significant. Physical people, people with real presence, eat. Ghosts don't eat. He encouraged the disciples to touch him. Now, it was a fault in Thomas that he didn't believe, but Jesus encouraged him. Touch the nail holes. Touch me. I'm real. I'm real. But those there had crept into the church, and they were saying, yes, we believe in God. We believe in Christ. But we have a better understanding of it, and Jesus, yes, you perceived him as a man, but he was really pure spirit and not so much a man. Well, this was a problem, and John writes to correct that. Going further then in the text, down on, he addresses the issue of sin. Jesus, as a real man, at a real time and a real place, addressed the issue of sin in this world. He dealt with people who were engaged in sin. He corrected them in their sin. Ultimately, of course, we understand that he died for our sin. Jesus addressed sin, and John has recognized that Jesus was a real person. The flesh does matter. What we do in the flesh does matter. And John tells us that if someone says that we have no sin, we do not sin, that one is a liar. Something that comes across in the epistles of John that I think is wonderful is that John is blunt. This is not a flowery letter. It's not to puff anybody up. It is to correct what he understands is a very serious problem in the church. Something that is leading people away from the truth of God and Jesus Christ. He just puts it right out on the table. look, if these people are saying this, they are liars. We don't hear that much. We're far too genteel in our day and age to stand up in the pulpit and say, so-and-so has said this, he's a liar. We won't say that. John puts it out on the table. This is serious. This is the truth about our Lord and Savior. John wastes no words. Somebody says these things, they are liars. And he adds another. The truth is not in them. John at this point then introduces a word to the text to describe these people. The ones that are saying these things. Antichrist. Antichrist. John puts it out there. Those who are saying these things are Antichrist. Now, it's important to note as we read these texts that John does not say the Antichrist. He uses it as a descriptive term, not a title or a noun. It is a descriptive term, Antichrist, against Christ. Keep that in mind as we go forward. Keep that in mind even as you go back and read these texts later, if you do. He is using it as a descriptive, not as a title. Now, John wrote this about 65 AD to a real people in a real place, and he meant for them to understand some things. Let's look at some of the things that John mentions to them. And remember, these are people that we assume because of the intimacy of the text that he knew. So these were friends of his, brothers and sisters in Christ. But look at some of the things that he mentions to them. In the past, he had already told them that Antichrist was coming. He told them Antichrist was coming. He now tells them Antichrist, many Antichrist, are there with you now. He told them in the past there would be Antichrist. He writes them now and says, Antichrist is there with you now. Another thing he tells them is that these Antichrist, these liars, now he uses both terms to describe the same people, these liars, these Antichrist, used to be believers, or they were reckoned to be believers. He says, they were with us, but they left us. They were with us, but they left us. And then he tells us that they now are back among us, but they are preaching not Christ. The language is there. They will talk about God. They will talk about Christ. But it is not the Christ that we know. Paul warns in another place of heresy that's coming into the church as well. And he says, there are those among you that are preaching another Jesus, another gospel. This is what John is addressing. This is what John is addressing. Why is this important? Why are we talking about this today? The reason is because this is not how we discuss Antichrist today. The current teaching on Antichrist is completely differently. The first difference you'll notice is Most people do not say Antichrist as a descriptive. It is a title. You talk to most people and they will say, well, of course, the Antichrist. The Antichrist. That's not how John uses the term. And remember, John is the only New Testament author that uses the term. So it's significant that we understand how he uses it. The use of Antichrist, the Antichrist that we speak of today, is actually a composite concept, a composite character of three separate concepts in the Scripture. One is drawn from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul speaks of the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition. Then you have the mentions by John of Antichrist. Then you have, in the book of Revelation, again John writing, of the beast. And in contemporary theology, we have now taken these and brought them all together into a composite character, and we call this character the Antichrist. But again, that is foreign to what John is saying. And when we do that, we miss the point of John's letter. Context is critical. Context is critical. There are three concepts presented: man of lawlessness, Antichrist, and the beast. They are three separate passages in Scripture. They do not reference each other, and they're written to three different audiences. That's all very significant. Each one of them has a time and a place and a proper understanding, and it's incumbent upon us as Christians to try and figure out what that is. Then we can begin to understand how they actually do fit together, because they do, because Scripture is itself a whole, a composite, a complete entity. Again, this is important, because we must understand that John wrote this about 65 AD to a real people in a real place. And he was not writing about a future event. Take that to heart. John says in this letter, Antichrist was coming. I told you that. Then he says, Antichrist is here now. Now, if Scripture means what it says, and Scripture is true, and I certainly believe it is, then we must understand that Antichrist was present at that church in 65 AD. There's no other way around it. You can't interpret that any other way. John was not writing of a future event. So we must understand then, what is Antichrist? What is he speaking of? He was not speaking of a future event. What he was speaking of, and as you read the letter, sit down, if you will, this afternoon, this evening, in a quiet moment, and read the entire epistle as a whole, just like you would read a letter from your parents or a dear friend. Read it all together, so that you have it together and you can see what he's addressing. Antichrist, as identified by John, are liars. They're preaching something other than Jesus Christ. And this is important, Antichrist used to belong to us, but they left us. They left us. Again, John was not speaking of a future event. He was warning them of a time and a place. Now to him. Now to him. Is it possible that all of this could describe some tyrannical world leader. Because that is the current understanding, is that Antichrist, the Antichrist, is this diabolical leader that will come up, take over the world, persecute Christians, kill folks everywhere, bring death and destruction. Is it possible that all of this could describe a future world leader? It is. It very well could describe that, but that's not what John is saying. But it could describe that, and I'll offer as an example two world leaders that we know of from fairly recent history that fit the bill. Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. Both of them forsook their original faith, Hitler being Catholic, Stalin being Orthodox Christian. They forsook their faith and developed a new theology replacing God with the state. And both of them were horrible, tyrannical, murderous leaders. So, did they fit this description of Antichrist? Yes, I wouldn't deny that. Is it possible that a new world leader could rise up that fits that description? Yes, to be honest with you, it could be. But again, I must say that in 65 AD, that's not what John is talking about. He's talking about a problem within the church of false teachers, people who have apostatized from the real faith in Jesus Christ and now are coming back in saying, listen, I've learned more about Jesus, and let me tell you what it is. Paul addressed this issue over and over and over, and John addresses it here too. And I keep asking, why is this important? Because the same dynamics that were present in the church that John wrote to in 65 AD are present today in our churches. If you will, stop for a minute and think about some of the insanity that comes out of the pulpit these days. You've got Christian churches that are standing up there, throwing their arms up and saying, you know what? Homosexuality is okay. You've got churches that are welcoming environmentalism to its extreme, which is basically worship of the earth. You've got churches that are throwing open their arms and saying, look, really in the big picture, there's no difference between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. After all, we worship the same God. This is all things, stuff, messages that are coming out of pulpits across the country. What would John say about these messages? Such that preach these things, brothers and sisters, are liars. The truth is not in them. They are Antichrist. That's what John said then, and as we read the epistles of John today, that's still what John says. He is not telling us to look out for a future world leader who will dominate the earth and take things over and kill people. It's not his message. Is that a pertinent message? Is that something we need to talk about as we look at government? Yes, yes, but that's not what John is saying. What he is saying is there is something more important than even that. It's the truth of God in Jesus Christ. And there are those among you now who would rob you of this truth, that would take the truth away and hide it and give you something that is not the truth. That is what John is telling. That is what John is telling, that there are false prophets among us. And these false prophets are liars, and they are Antichrist. I hope that as we've looked at this, that this has been useful to you. I hope as well that you will go home and in a quiet moment in the next hours, days, weeks, you'll look at the epistles of John again, and as I said, read them as a whole. Sit down and read the entire passage. All the epistles of John are short, so they're easy to read. But read them as you would read a personal letter written to you and see what they say to you. It is my hope that in this discussion today, that we've seen that there is the truth in Jesus Christ and there is not the truth in Jesus Christ. There is a way that John tells us that we can live in the light, and we should live in the light. And John has given us ways to identify who is Antichrist. And I hope that that's what we walk away from the service today with, those things.